Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously Fukushima irradiated, fluoridated, fascinatingly fracked up country of New Zealand in the sunny slave South Pacific, where the hole in the ozone layer makes everybody get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest is the man with the answers. It's Anseri, Alex Anseri, that is. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Vinny. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here too. Are you like in a parking lot at McDonald's or something like that, broadcasting emergency style?
We'll talk a little bit about my last year's adventure shortly, but no, it's better than that, Vinny. I'm actually staying at a friend's house. I'm looking forward to, for the first time in a long time, doing my show Outside the Box this Saturday again on American Freedom Radio, at least for a few weeks. So for the moment, things are a lot better than they were.
Yeah, you've been kind of like a bouncing around, sort of like a hacky sack on the American back trail there.
It's true, and I've been trying to stay somewhat regular with my YouTube channel, but just to give a brief overview for listeners that are new to my work and what I've been doing lately. I did Access Television for about 6 to 7 years in Portland, Oregon, where I was doing a lot of what you're doing, but not on a daily basis, a weekly basis. And I was honored at that time to be able to introduce ideas about the New World Order and this freedom movement to people that had never heard of such a thing outside of the media promoting the left-right paradigm. And, Vinny, I chose to free myself from myself beginning several years ago. This constant fear of living without money, it haunted me, like it haunts a lot of us that are trying to do good work, but we don't want to live inside the system. So I decided that I would move to Texas, and I was there for about a year trying to help a company launch an alternative media network. And when that failed to move into fruition, I then went off grid completely and went in the middle of the desert in South Colorado. And I'm still in rural Colorado, and I've been trying to see what the rest of America lives like outside of what I read on, blacklistednews.com or things I hear about on AmericanFreedomRadio.com's podcasts and shows. I set out with very little money and followed the synchronistic clues, as Freeman talks quite often about, in this journey to find out what it's really like to try to do it, not just talk about it. And that's still something that I'm trying to figure out how to do, how to be free, literally, not just talk about being free.
Have you noticed that whenever you desperately need something, it just kind of turns up precisely when you need it, not before and not after?
Exactly. And I found specifically that I will receive what I need, not what I want. And I'll sit there and try to argue, and apply the law of attraction and say, no, I want internet now. I want truth or friends and allies now. I don't want things to be this hard. And then I go through that hardship, whether I like it or not, and find myself a different person, a stronger person, having survived what some people thought was going to break me. So there's been many times where my car's broken down. I've had very little money or funds, sometimes no spare tire. And many times out in the middle of the desert, there has been someone that has come by to help me. So these are things that you learn along the way.
Yeah, it's kind of like having faith in a way.
Having faith in Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous. These groups are well known for having this idea of a higher power and it not being a religious one. But we can apply that type of thinking that alcoholics and drug addicts use to conspiracy research. And we too can come up with an understanding of a power greater than ourselves or our own ego, that this source, this oneness that we're all connected to. I feel we have responsibility to do that and do it outside of a religious box. And that's pretty
some
much
might
why
argue,
I made my show outside some the might box argue, a long time ago.
Some might argue, Alex, that there's not a whole lot of difference between a conspiracy theorist and a drug addict or an alcoholic.
Well, I'll tell you what, it is very easy to become addicted to certain information. And I think that there is a very fine line between being spiritually fit and being mentally ill. And as you talked about in detail on your show, Counseling for Truthers, which I've shared with a lot of my friends because it's funny and it's very real. Unless one makes an honest attempt to be spiritually fit, to live a moral life, this information that we deal with every day can F you up to a point to where your mother won't even recognize you, or you won't even recognize your mother. This stuff has the power, if you're not spiritually fit, to take you away from the faith, to take you away from seeing where there are forces of good working through us and around us.
Yeah, I do believe that that's an absolute case. And it's like, once you stop thinking to yourself, you know what, I need this and I need that and I need the other, once you realize, hey, hold on a second, is it me deciding that I wanted those things, or is it somebody else decided that I wanted those things? Am I actually happier and a better man now that I have this new flashy fandangled cell phone, or this this car that I don't actually own and the bank really owns? Am I happier now that I'm in massive amounts of debt? Am I happier now that I'm paying kind of like almost more than I can afford for my rent at the moment? Yeah, I'm kind of not.
Yeah, and that all deals with self-honesty, and that's responsibility, self-responsibility. And in some way, shape, or form, we have to work to continue to be self-honest with ourselves, in the same way that someone that is working to become a better meditator, to become more aware, for those that have done Vipassana meditation and other forms of Buddhist meditations. The goal is to become very aware and very equanimous to what you're feeling and not overreact, to keep that reactive mind under control and in check. Well, there's a Buddhist saying that is to see things as they are. And we also, you know, from those that have read Krishna's information, you know, to see reality as it is, not as we want to see it. Well, the same thing goes for keeping ourselves in check and taking a look at our own spiritual hygiene. And there are things that I don't like to look about in terms of myself and the world at times, because it's upsetting. But that's also another reason why I went out into the desert, into the silence, because in the silence, and you're not, you know, if you're not on Facebook every day seeing everybody else's reality, then there's no one for you to blame for anything. You're just there in your own mental space. And I don't think it's healthy to just go out in the desert and stay there. But hell, I think everyone that truly seeks freedom should try a few months in the middle of nowhere and just be in your own thoughts and be in a space where you can't blame anyone for absolutely everything, anything whatsoever. Mm. And yeah.
And it helps to take along a horse with no name.
That's right. That's definitely true. And yeah, it's there's something about I think I've identified it as becoming more allergic to the city, you know, in my travels from the last few years. I feel more allergic to these archonic dense population centers. And Dallas was the last straw for me. Living in Dallas, Texas, this is like, for anyone that's seen the movie They Live, if you want to think of a city other than New York and Los Angeles as a great city for that movie to be set, Dallas, Texas is it.
Could you elaborate? Because I've never been to Dallas.
Well, so I'm coming out of a situation where I leave my 6 to 7 years of doing a show on the same channel at the same time. They moved me around once, and that screwed things up for me. But the point is family. I developed a sense of family there in my hometown. And things were very tough for me economically. I couldn't afford to live anywhere. It seemed that there was no space for someone like me to get shelter at for more than a few days. And that hurt a lot. So I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Maybe I need to start thinking more globally about my message and about my audience. And by the way, when donations have come in, when I've needed it, most of the time, they've been from someone that's seen my YouTube channel or listened to my show on American Freedom Radio or someone that knows me off of Facebook. I started to see more help coming from places outside of my own hometown. And I had to really grow spiritually to take that jump and go somewhere that was not a very spiritual place or a place where I felt at home, a place like Dallas, Texas. I'll talk about why I went there in a minute. But in Buddhism, there's and I'm not a Buddhist, but you know, I'm using some of these ideas as memes for things I've been experiencing as I've been looking for towards greater self-awareness and growth. The practice of the Buddhist mandala of creating a work of art with sand, creating something so magnificent and then blowing it away and starting again. That is how I would describe my leaving Portland at the age of 31, basically starting over and having such faith in myself that I'll create again and my ego doesn't have to be attached to what I already created. I'll just do it again somewhere else. So someone invited me to Dallas and they paid me every week. It was actually the best paying job I've ever had to help this person create their own alternative media network. However, I was not the manager, nor was I the shot caller. And so for reasons beyond my control, the funding after a year was no longer there to launch this network. And I was very much in disagreement with the CEO of this would-be alternative media network as to the cost. I wanted something that was free or, you know, within $5 per month for people to have access to a network that would run alternative media content 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Essentially, not only was I set up to do a daily half-hour show, but I was program director and I was picking out some of your best shows and some of the best shows of Freeman and others for this real network that people could access on Roku. So to make a long story short, I went there on a leap of faith. And that faith was that I was moving in a more positive direction because I was letting go of my own ego, letting go of stability, of speaking, preaching, at times crying, literally, for people to wake up in my hometown because I wanted to keep it local, Vincent. I'm like, okay, you can't fix the whole world. You can't be Alex Jones. You certainly can't be Superman. So you got to make it local. And I thought that was the lesson for me in, you know, 2006, 7, 8, 9 as I was coming up. And then I had a shift of awareness again, right as Occupy was kicking off. And since then, I'm thinking more about the global audience and everyone everywhere, and not just small geographic areas. But in a nutshell, that's what led to me leaving Portland and what I built up and why I went to Dallas. And ultimately, I feel like it was all meant to happen for a reason, because for years on my show, I started to have more people on that were talking about living off the grid. People like Matthew Stein, When Disaster Strikes, rather, When Technology Fails, and other related books. Some dealing with primitive wilderness survival. Some just dealing with food storage and underground shelters and actually helping open a survival store called the Portland Preparedness Center before I left Portland, Oregon. So again, I wanted to live something more genuine and actually not be in a situation where I was asking for financial help from the audience. And I didn't really want to be in Portland anymore. I wanted to see the world. So all these steps and the intention that I put out there to live an off-the-grid lifestyle, it all led to me eventually being here, getting to where I am now.
Have you traveled overseas yet, gone to different countries?
I'm not, but my experience as a truther has been unique because as far as I can tell, I'm the only person whose father is from Afghanistan that's in the truth movement. I keep looking for other people. And I'm very baffled that in a world of how many people are on the planet now, Vincent? Seven billion? Are we almost to 8 billion? I'm trying to figure out what the powers that be, the divine ones, have for me and why I am the only one that feels called to present an assortment of truth about not only spiritual awareness, who we really are, but the new world order. I'm trying to understand what my true mission is, and I don't think I've done 10% of what I need to do in this lifetime.
Well,
but
you
I'm
were saying
constantly
earlier,
asking myself, where are the other Afghanis or Iraqis? Why have I been disowned by both sides of my family, the white side and the Afghani side, because of the content on my YouTube channel and my show on American Freedom Radio? So it's a mystery I'm constantly asking.
I think now I understand a lot why you like that Counseling for Truthers video, because I speak extensively about relationships with your family in there and how coming out for the truth actually puts a lot of pressure on. Now, you talked earlier about how you wanted to focus local and then you decided to go global. I started off doing the same thing. Like, I started off kind of listening to all the international talk radio show hosts and having the news and New World Order, the documentaries and so on and so forth. And then I noticed that there was nobody doing anything comparable in New Zealand. So I started going off and doing it in New Zealand. And then after I started interviewing activists and people in this country, what I noticed is they're parroting almost the exact same thing that I saw was going on overseas. And it's like, whoa, hold on a second. There's not a whole lot of difference between local and global anymore because we live in a globalist society.
That's very true. And you are 1 in 5 million. And why you're the only one in New Zealand that's talking about some of these things is also very interesting. You know, a friend of mine asked me about an hour ago, who hasn't listened to your stuff yet. She's now checking it out. she says, "Oh, what's New Zealand like? Are they really awake over there?" And I'm like, "You need to listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show. It's like he's going through the same thing over there, but 1 in 5 million actually sounds worse, Vinnie, than what I was doing in Portland, because Portland's only in the city of the metro area is about 1 million, 1.5 million. And there is a guy on the air who used to be a friend of mine. His name is Clyde Lewis of Ground Zero Radio. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's out there on some issues, but he's a great mind. Mm. He's talking to nearly the whole city on one of the biggest talk stations in the whole metro area. The tide has shifted and people are asking questions in the city that I'm from more than they seem to have asked when I was there. So, you know, even though it seems like we're in a zombie apocalypse, I'm constantly shocked at just how aware the world seems to be becoming.
Well, apocalypse means the revealing of great truth, ironically enough. We'll be right back after the break with Alex Ansari, Outside the Box, ladies and gentlemen.
Answer Vinnie Eastwood is going to be resetting his computer, and I'm going to continue talking a little bit about a few things, a little bit about my early years, and some of the things that I've experienced early on. But, you know, I was discussing my early years early on, and I know there's different people that are coming into what we call the truth movement. I cannot place enough emphasis on the value of basically the medium that I got started on, which was community access television. And even though it seems like we're facing greater and greater threats to free speech, it seems that every year we read about another threat to the internet. It seems that things at times almost get worse on our local community radio stations anytime they have partnerships with NPR. And other federally supported and directed news media organizations. It's difficult in this day and age, but you know, there are certain mediums, access television, if you have a medium like that. That's what I use from the year 2004 to the year 2011 to reach people that normally don't look for information in shows like this. They just find it accidentally. And so the power of synchronicity can literally, if you will, take over. And you might be talking about a certain issue or showing a documentary, turning in a documentary, downloading a video from YouTube. Go to keepvid.com, download that MP3 in full quality, and take that information. It may be about chemtrails. It may be about Agenda 21. It may be about fluoride in your local water supply. Maybe you found someone on YouTube from your community that is your own community's Mr. News. Do those people a favor. take that information that relates to local information in your local community and share that on Access Television or send it to the news stations. But I cannot place enough emphasis on the medium that I got started sharing my perspectives. Now, I've never thought about myself as a big shot or someone that's better than other people, and I've never taken voice lessons for anything. In fact, I make plenty of mistakes, and I'm not a perfect person. But I've been asked quite often, where did I get my education? What school did I go to learn how to do this? And the truth is, if you have a passion for something, if you have a willingness to do the work that it takes to get a message out, to plant the seeds. Because once you plant a seed, once someone's heard something, they cannot unhear something. Whatever it is, if you have the drive, if you have the passion, if you have the motivation, you know, there's a lot of things you can do even as a listener. And that's what I am. I'm someone that at one point was just a listener, someone that used to go down to Clyde Lewis's get-togethers. He would have these talks. We would talk about UFOs, conspiracies, you know, and different topics at a bar in Portland, Oregon. And I remember the year was 2002, 2003. And that was my family. That was my community. And then once I realized, wait a minute, if there's a local community TV station that's going to let a man under the guise of free speech run around naked. His name was Jim Spagg. For anyone into Portland Access, Portland Cable Access history, he pushed the envelope of free speech. I was thinking to myself, you know, there's definitely questions that need to be raised about 9/11 and many, many other things. The surveillance society. I still remember what it was like for people to get surprised when I would say that, you know, we are moving into some sort of a 1984 Orwellian surveillance society. And people would say that that was bullcrap at that time. And there was denial. You know, at one point I want to make a whole film about surveillance, and I'm glad the ones that have been made because I no longer want to make a film about surveillance. Now I want to make a film about China and how they're closely linked to the U.S., which I'll talk about later with Vinny. But Vinny, are you there? And it looks like Vincent is still not with us, but I believe that I'm still. Looks like we must have been talking about some heavy content.
No, well, see, that's one of the things that really bugs me about being a truther is that everybody assumes that just because you're doing a radio show or whatever, that all the technical issues are the result of the New World Order as opposed to your own incompetence.
I know, and I really said that sarcastically. I get tired of hearing those things, but well, yeah, we definitely need to start. And you said the other day, I believe that you lost some of your contacts on Facebook. Is that true, Vincent?
I lost everything on Facebook, basically all my groups, all the things that I was admin of. You can turn your webcam on now, by the way. I think we've got it all fixed.
Well, I'm sorry for that, but it's just all the more reason why we've got to start keeping backups of our contacts.
Yeah.
You know, same thing goes for those that have developed close relationships with people on Facebook. You know, I guess it's been a long time, Vincent, since we've mailed each other anything, since we've written emails. I don't get that many emails anymore. Everything is on Facebook, and I've conformed.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it, but I'm going to be vocal and say we've conformed to it. Let's not kid ourselves and be pissed off if someone's account just disappears overnight.
Yeah,
it's not our website. The free speech argument doesn't apply to Facebook.
That's true. It's a kind of domineering factor, and a lot of the social networking and hits to people's websites and so on and so forth are now through Facebook. So to have that kind of a platform is a lot of power, a lot of control. And it's come out recently that the NSA is doing Facebook data mining. So, you know, I say let them watch, though. You know, I mean, if they're going to watch me on Facebook, I'm just going to show them something freaky, you know, like me getting thousands of likes on whatever.
Absolutely. And I believe the founder of Facebook, he recently had his account hacked. And CNN did a story on this. The guy that did it is in Gaza. So someone in Gaza with a limited access to technology figured out a code or something, and he became a local celebrity out of it. Hopefully he'll get a job. He was hoping Facebook would give him a job, but they're like, no, we're not interested in having. So then a bunch of hackers have been contacting him. But I bring that up to say, if that can happen to him, and if he said years ago, Facebook users are effing morons for just posting voluntarily information. Take that to heart. What he said about people that will post it voluntarily and what happened to him. Now he's mad, along with the founder of Yahoo. And they did some sort of a conference relating to the NSA this week, where they are now saying they're very upset with all of this. I'm wondering, where were they a few years ago? Why are they just now saying that they're upset with the NSA?
Mm.
We've been told all this time Facebook's been working with the CIA. It seems like Zuckerberg forgot CIA.
Well, it was DARPA, wasn't it? The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. And they're responsible for a lot of very, very creepy, draconian kind of programs on the net, censored technology, and so on and so forth. And there's a video that you can watch on YouTube called What is Facebook? That outlines its connections to a lot of these very scary, draconian agencies.
Right. Well, what we're reading about now is not just globalization of the economy and of so many other things. What we're seeing now is China, Russia, and the United States working together when it comes to sharing technology about the people in their country. And a lot of this was going on before 9/11. We can get more into geopolitics, if you like, in the second hour or in this hour. But one of the things that I've been discussing on my show, especially since 2007, is that, you know, this surveillance network that we talk about is not just something based in Western Europe or the United States, or something that's being hatched at the Bilderberg Group. I perceive a larger network that involves all these guys, and that there is a larger network that we identify to be the New World Order that exists far outside of Bilderberg. So I think that there's more information documentation coming to back up these claims. We can read now about Russian special forces being invited to Colorado as recently as last year to take part in a drill. And there was another headline a few months ago about certain aspects of the Russian military or peacekeeping forces or whatnot, something along those lines, working with FEMA and disaster response organizations. Very creepy stuff. And here's something else for any of your Texas listeners. There is a company called Huawei. They make cell phones. They're like Verizon. They're like the Verizon of China. This company has already been highlighted by the Pentagon as being one of the top suspects in cyber attacks against the United States. We do know that the CIA manufactures some of these threats, but we do know some of them are actually real and that some of us have been attacked. You have Jack Blood on quite a bit. He's been attacked by China when he was talking with Tex Mars. They tried to send him child pornography. What did Luke Kradowski say someone tried to send him? What did Stuart Rhodes say 2 months ago someone tried to send him an email? There's multiple reports of people getting hit with so-called attempts to send them child pornography and cyber attacks. And in some cases are originating from overseas. Jack Blood traced the IP to Halliburton in Texas as well as somewhere in China. All very interesting. So let me get back to Dallas. This Huawei company, this cell phone company that's been highlighted as a suspect company. There's a ribbon-cutting ceremony where Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, is inviting them to Plano, which is like the Beverly Hills of Dallas, to set up their U.S. headquarters for this cell phone company that's involved in espionage and spying.
I freaking hate Rick Perry.
Yeah, he's a real scumbag. I was just thinking, a real scumbag and someone that at the time that he was running for the presidency, I don't think that he was really running or trying. You remember some of those videos where he was behaving like he was on pills or he was drunk? I think all that was intentional.
No, I didn't see that.
You didn't see that? But yeah, it was. I was watching that, and what I saw was another reenactment of what we saw with George W. Bush.
Yeah.
Where people act like they're retarded. They act like they don't know what they're doing, and they have no self-control or they have no etiquette. Then in reality, they're deliberately supposed to act that way. It's just something to speculate about.
You ever think about the possibility that they're just not acting?
That is very possible, and the powers that be are deliberately picking people like this for definitely specific purposes. But in the end, Vincent, it seems like we've lost so much faith in our leaders over this decade, not just in the post-9/11 world and this new world order, but old new world order stuff with Clinton and Bush Senior and Dan Quayle not knowing how to spell potato on CNN in the year 1990. It's a very famous CNN clip. You know, the vice president can't spell potato. And I'm just like, this stuff's got to be deliberate for us to reach such an apathetic state of mind to where we're like, you know what, we want no part of any of this process.
I don't know. I mean, think about what George Carlin said. He said, "This everybody talks about politicians. Look, it's garbage in, garbage out. This is the best that America can produce now."
Right. Yeah, I love George Carlin. It's funny when you go into YouTube and type in New World Order comedy, which I do every now and then to get a laugh when I need it in relation to all this craziness going on. He pops up right away. And I hope in our generation, Vincent, that we see more Bill Hicks come to the surface, and also more radio hosts like yourself that have a natural sense of humor, not an artificial sense of humor. And that's what we need to see, because Bill Hicks and what he's done, it still lives on, even though he is no longer with us. His spirit still lives on. So I hope to see more.
He was one of my chief inspirations, actually. A friend of mine introduced me to him when I was at university, and I think that was back in 2003. I think that was like nearly 10 years after his death. I found out about him for the first time, kind of thing, and that inspiration kind of still lives on in me. Now, isn't that great? I mean, and this is why I like the modern technology that we got now with the recording devices and so on and so forth. Because I've had so many amazing conversations with people over the years. Had those not been recorded, they would have just disappeared into half-winced memories and so on and so forth, and other people wouldn't have been able to share in those conversations. Other people wouldn't have been able to hear or see or feel the comedy of Bill Hicks, kind of thing. And you know, as much as technology can enslave us, it can also really, really free us and inspire us.
Yes, because what I think we're ultimately doing, Vincent, is healing. We're not just speaking. We're not just educating. And this is not anything to do with ego. I see in others. I see it in myself. And sometimes we can become out of balance if we're compulsive healers and we're running around trying to fix everything and, quote, save the world. No, first we start with ourselves. We get ourselves clear. And we put out an intent to become what we're actually able to become, what our potential, our true human potential is, which I think is one of the meanings of life. Is to realize our human potential. But part of that is to help heal people with our words. So when we hear these podcasts from the past, from the grave, if you will,
we're coming to
like
break.
Something's released.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have faith in our leaders. We should have had faith in ourselves all along. We'll be right back.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our standards have gone.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with the man with the answers. It's Ann Seri. Answer me, Ann Seri. We were talking over the break about Afghanistan and Rambo 3, and I really liked Rambo 3. In fact, I recorded a number of quotes from it because it was like, you know what? It's very interesting. You saw these Russians torturing this American soldier that they caught, and the American soldiers telling them, "You have any idea how many people have tried to conquer this country? You know, you have any idea? These people have suffered through it all. You can't defeat a people like that." And then later on, the Americans invade, and they still can't beat them.
It's totally insane, because you have this popular. Okay, Rambo 3 did very well at the box office. For people that want to look up the Wikipedia page, it may be seen as a flop now, but when that movie came out, because what was taking place at that time, the Mujahideen, they were in the news on a regular basis. They were being supported by this government, and it wasn't the worst thing for this government to support that group, because in truth, they were being invaded by this other country, the Russians. Of course, they already infiltrated the Afghan government before that. Familiar theme, anyone? They already established communism in Afghanistan, in the capital of Kabul, where my father was born and raised, where my grandfather was born and raised, where my parents come, where my father comes from, in that city, they established communism. As soon as the rest of the country found out, they're like, "No, I don't think so. We're not just going to become slaves of the Russians. We're going to have a war now." And, you know, there was constant pressures between the reformists and the conservatives, those that had more of a Pakistani, let's call it that, understanding of Islam. Because this Taliban group that's been the excuse for the U.S. to be there all this time, they have been getting their money from Pakistan, the ISI, which we know has ties to the CIA. That's why it's been heartbreaking for people to not look into that. that mainstream Afghanistan does not support the Taliban, nor never did. You're dealing with a weak group of people that have been, for the most part, weakened through starvation, through war, through things people should already know about in the history books. All the Taliban were like the Golden Dawn of today's Greece, you know, the fascists that came in and said, "We understand your suffering. We understand there's been a lot of rape here. There's been a lot of women dishonored. A lot of your men are beaten up and they're dead. We got an idea. We'll take you back to the good old days. We'll have a republic. Everything will be cool. And you'll be safe. But we got to tell you, you know, we got a dotted line here. You got to sign. You can have an Islamic rule." And so some people signed on to that because the civil war ceased somewhat. The battles between like Northern Alliance and other groups. But Rambo 3 has an interesting scene where he's coming upon this village that's being attacked by the Russians, and he gets behind a machine gun, and he's basically taking out these helicopters. It's an awesome battle scene. It's one of the best scenes in World War, in Rambo 3, where you're rooting Stallone on, you're rooting Rambo on. He's defending the woman. He's defending the village from attack. He would be considered a terrorist today. He would be struck by a drone in seconds because he's basically helping the militants. And every day on NPR, they're telling people in rural white America about how horrifying things are in the Middle East, in Afghanistan, about, you know, drone strikes in Yemen, drone strikes in Libya, drone strikes in Afghanistan, all because of these militants that just happen to be driving down a Jeep in the middle of desert Tumbuk nowhere. Boom, drone strikes. We just get used to hearing that without ever questioning if that was a father.
Shoot that Jeep. He's got militanted windows.
So isn't it funny that when you look on YouTube at Rambo 3 clips that scene is not on YouTube, nor is the movie in full on YouTube? See, there's reasons why certain clips get taken down. They wouldn't want anyone to associate, you know, with a weak Afghani tribe or village that's just being bombed because they're born at the wrong time at the wrong place. Now, people have asked me, Vincent, if I would ever go to Afghanistan. And you're talking to someone that is of Afghani blood, ancestry, but I do not speak Farsi. Pushto, I'm not even sure what tribe I'm from. I have learned everything about Afghanistan through the internet and through my own research. I have been disowned by both sides of the family because I was never pure blood on either side. And I will give, you know, on my mother's side, they were better to me and they raised me to a certain degree. But ultimately, I raised myself. My parents did the best with what they had to work with. But ultimately, they came from two different cultures and their marriage failed the second I came out of the womb. So my dad was always the weekend dad. And what I see when I think back at my dad and our relationship before it collapsed, my dad became very Americanized. I never heard any anti-American type, you know, like Delta Force, the movies with typical terrorists before 9/11 happened. I never met anybody like that in my life that was Afghani, ever. All I heard was about the importance of Islam. And how there was a one true God, and there are satanic elements in the West. All they were doing was expressing with their language, and they understood New World Order. There's evil over there in the West. We want to protect that from our culture. That's all that I remember hearing. And I find it very sad that despite the fact that my family tried to elevate themselves to being above Americans, I have seen Afghanis turn their back on me and worship this system. Worship the Federal Reserve, worship all these things that they claimed when I was a child they were against. So they're concerned with the universities, with being somebody, Vincent, having a minivan and 2.5 kids and a picket fence, whether it be made of wood or made from plastic made in China. They don't give a rat's behind. They're just glad that they're not in Afghanistan anymore and they're not getting bombed. So it's in their interest to never talk to somebody like Alex Hansary. Heaven forbid they ever get pulled out of their house and one of their women ever gets dishonored, because that is the primitive terror that lives in the Arab Persian heart, to the point where they will divorce their own family members because they choose to believe what the government and the media is telling the American people. So my father has become a translator for multinational corporations. The year I became a 9/11 truther, he became a translator overseas for them. Now, that is the type of thing. People think they're in pain living in the New World Order. Try, and I'm not trying to play victim. I'm trying to just express what I've been through. Hold it together when you feel like you're a threat to your own family because of who you are, because of the modern things going on. People should go back and look at the film The Siege. Now, the only reason I keep doing what I'm doing, and as we'll get into in the second hour, I have a warning for this country because I believe their plan is to invade this country with Chinese and Russian troops in 10 to 15 years. All I'm trying to do is just stop the invasions and stop all this. I don't see color at all. I see this dark, archonic spirit of evil that has taken control of some aspect of this earth and its political process. And I see people ignorant of that, of how one group is used to control the other group, and there is this sea of invasions that follow it. Call it karma. Because every country that's tried to take down Afghanistan in some way, shape, or form has gone through some type of collapse. Russia's not done yet. They still need to have their full-on collapse. Those guys are dangerous. I can go on and on, but I'm very concerned about the direction this country is going in. I'm concerned about the safety that the people are going to be in the future, and New Zealand and Australia and all these Western countries that have gone in a dark direction. I'm concerned about its sons. I'm concerned about its daughters. Because when you let evil like this run rampant throughout the planet, there are consequences to it. And although people are getting scared right now, we don't want you to get scared. We want you to help reverse what you can reverse. Because it's only because I have a faith in something, whether you call it God or a creator, I can feel that force working in my life. And I was deeply addicted to heroin before 9/11 and during around 9/11. We never got into that. It was when I got on the path to looking at these things that all of a sudden I didn't want to kill myself anymore. I wasn't ashamed of where my father was from anymore when I figured out what 9/11 was about. And this righteous fire started burning in me. Now, Alex Jones and David Icke may have kickstarted that fire like yourself and so many others that have been inspired by others. Something changed in me around that time period where I started to believe in myself. And I started to walk on a different path. The second I did that, Vincent, my whole life changed. And everything that I needed was given to me, but oftentimes not what I wanted.
Yeah. I think Anthony Robbins said it best, as a motivational speaker guy, you know, the guy with the hands like a bunch of bananas and really big. He's even bigger than me. I'm six foot four and the man dwarfs me, you know. And he says that humanity is suffering from a crisis of faith, paraphrasing here, not in God, not in their leaders, but a crisis of faith in themselves. And he thinks that that's the real reason why people aren't fulfilling their potential is because they're afraid, all right? And I think that's actually the opposite of fear isn't courage, it isn't bravery, it's faith.
Well, you address on your show a lot of people just attack people blatantly. I made a video once on YouTube, people that attack other researchers just for sport, just for fun. And a lot of that comes from, you know, the reason that I have such an issue with what David Icke said 15 years ago about being Jesus, and they have such an issue about some of these people, they can't take the good stuff and leave the rest because they're looking for a leader. They may not have come to that self-honesty yet, but they're really looking for daddy. They're really looking for a male role model in their life to fill that void that they feel in their heart, even if they haven't come to admit that. But that's where that stems from. Once they're no longer looking for a leader and they find faith in themselves and they develop discernment, they take what they want and leave the rest. And this is fundamental to that which we call a spiritual experience.
Now, if we were in some way, shape, or form becoming who we really were meant to be, if we're becoming who we want to be, I was just thinking about this. I randomly yesterday, I was going down to have lunch at the little organic cafe that we've got, and they're run by really nice people, and every time I go down there, I wound up having a really good conversation with somebody there, just randomly. And this week, for some reason, they're closed. And so I was like, okay, well, there's nowhere else that's organic that I can eat there. So I go down to this nice little Indian shop, and I notice that there's an elderly woman there who I recognize from the organic shop. And I go up to him, excuse me, did you have the same idea that I did? Did you come here because the organic shop was closed? And you go, yes, I did. And so I was like, do you mind if I sit with you? And she's like, yes. And we sit down and we have lunch together and we have an amazing conversation. And we talk about how society's degraded to such a point since she was a little girl up until this point now. And we both agreed that the reason why everything's deteriorated, why culture has become so vapid and empty and vacuous, and why morality and culture itself has become so demonstrably scumbaggery-ish is because there's really no family unit anymore. There's no strong female male role models. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's now hour number two, and I just wanted to play this little quick 45-second clip from Rambo. It's got one curse word in it, but I don't think we'll be taken off the air because of it. All right, yeah, here we go. Let's see if I can get this working. Yeah.
This is Afghanistan. Alexander the Great tried to conquer this country. Then Genghis Khan, then the British, now Russia. But Afghan people fight hard. They never be defeated. Ancient enemy, make prayer about these people. You wish to hear? Very good. It says, may God deliver us from the venom of the cobra, teeth of the tiger, and the vengeance of the Afghan. You understand what this means?
That you guys don't take any shit.
Yes, something like this.
All right, there you go. I watched that movie. Like, I'm a bit of a movie buff myself. Level's a bit high there. I'm a bit of a movie buff myself, so whenever I'm watching movies, Alex, I'll always, you know, just go through and record good quotes or take screenshots of all seeing eyes, Masonic floors, things of that nature. It's surprising just how much stuff there really is for conspiracy theorists to draw material from, just in normal, average, everyday, mainstream movies. And I thought Rambo 3, yeah, we were talking about it the other segment. It was one of those films that just kind of like was like, whoa, you know, like seeing it today as opposed to back in 1991 when it was made, was kind of like a wake-up call to a degree, you know what I'm saying?
1987, but what's interesting is that 1989, the Russians officially withdrew from Afghanistan. I want to touch upon this quick while I remember it. How did they know 2 years ago that the Russians were going to lose? They made it in a movie 2 years before the Russians pulled out. It's because there's something we really still don't know about the true Russian-U.S. relationship behind the scenes as all this was taking place. Zbigniew Brzezinski even admits, as well as some other Kissinger types from that era of the time, that they baited Russia into Afghanistan in order to weaken it. That means they were playing with people's lives. That means they didn't care about those people. So you see Brzezinski go over there, the famous clip, and then, of course, there's Charlie Wilson's War and all that. The movie, the recent Hollywood movie people can go and watch. Brzezinski goes over there and says, you are fighting for God. Oh, yeah, you are God's people. You're defending your land, so you're good. You're good. And look at the situation that we're in now. But to echo Mel Gibson in Braveheart, along the lines, the theme of that movie, Rambo 3, that scene that you played. They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedoms. You know, this type of a theme people associate with Braveheart, the Anglo-Saxon Westerner that's fighting off the king. No, but this is all of us. It's like we're seeing a similar experience throughout time and history. Throughout the world, we've seen this. Groups conquered by New World Order type, Illuminati type systems, even if they weren't called that in that part of the day. I have ancestors, Vinny, that were fighting the Islamic Empire in parts of Afghanistan. They were fighting their rule. They were Persian George Washingtons running around saying, you know, the Muslim extremists are coming. The Muslim extremists are coming. They don't teach that in American history, that there were people fighting them then. And they're alive in the history books. I think of my ancestor, Abdullah Ansari, that was buried in 1064 AD. He was a Sufi. And Sufis in the East are like Gnostics in the West, or mystical people, New Age ideas. Not to be confused with New Age religion. But
I thought it was like not to be confused with a souffle, which is a kind of dessert.
We don't want to cause confusion between souffles and Sufis.
Are they just as sweet as?
But Afghanistan holds a special place in my heart, and I pray for the people of Afghanistan, and I feel my ancestors in spirit, and I've heard others say, and in terms of spiritual teachings of Native Americans, there's power when you remember your ancestors. Mm. There's something to that, and remembering their name, even if your family never told you about your ancestors and what they stood for and what they fought. And I know that this guy was railing against whatever establishment at that time through his poetry, through his words. And then 1,000 years later, a millennia, the echo seems to be in my heart, in my life. You know, I'm looking around and I'm going, where is this in the rest of my family on that side? But this is not my story. This is our story, Vinny. You know, when I heard you speak on some of your shows, it's like, this guy reminds me of Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. I listened to a few more of your shows a couple years ago, and you're quoting him. You know, so it's like we're sharing this. I don't like to use the word hive mind, but there is something to this collective awareness, and we see this truth being mirrored in the words of others thousands of miles away. And yet, even though we're not alone, and we are a family, for whatever reason, we're separated by thousands of miles. And we're one in 5 millions. We're one in millions. We're doing our thing. But maybe God or the universe is set up to be that way. Maybe we're not all supposed to be in one spot, in one state or one city. Like, you know, in our own private utopia, a wonderful community. No, we're where we need to be.
And we're you know how fruit, for example, the reason why your fruit's sweet is because it's got a chemical in it called fructose, right, which is much sweeter than sugar. Your body can't process it properly. It gets broken down by your liver like alcohol does, except if it's got fiber in it, which all fruit has. So what nature does is it packages the poison with the cure. They've packaged this world and the evil of the New World Order and given us the fiber in here to cure it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I still get shocked at how many things are containing high fructose corn syrup. But just stepping back and taking another look, as David Icke says, this is just all a mere representation of how dumbed down our society has become. And in a recent video, you were on someone else's show. It mirrors the same headline I just put up on my YouTube channel. We're awakening the fact that Earth's under some sort of satanic occupation. You know, and people get caught up in this term 99%. We are the 99%. I started thinking more in depth about this term. We are the herd. We are the masses. I just became so disgusted. Who would want to brag that they're a part of herd mentality? No, it's the 1%.
Oh, my God. I just got that.
It's not 99%, you know, that wants to see the end of this system, whatever someone chooses to call it. Capitalist, New World Order, the Jesuits, the Zionist system, whatever they've come up with. The Bilderbergers. Now, it's less than 1% that even seems to see this.
That's what my point has been all along, is that throughout history, even today, 1% of people do 99% of the work. So to claim that you're one of the 99% is to claim that you do none of the work.
Right. And I was talking about Sufism earlier. That represents like a 1% type of thinking. That's like an interpretation of Islam that's like, no, I'm not going to worship you. Like, you're going to beat me up if I do something wrong. I want to understand you. I want to understand this we are all one concept. They had it back then in the Quantum realm, how to be like you. You know, the true teachings of Christ. Be like me. Don't worship the people that say that they represent my teachings. No, be like me. Run out and help the world and stand in the face of all these demons that want to lead you astray. You know, I think that's the awakening, Vinny. There's been an awakening to, I want to talk about solar cycles briefly in this interview and what I've learned about that in 5 years, but this term Archon, you've had a couple people on, did a roundtable show. I've been researching this since the summer of 2012. I've always been interested in reptilian, gray, we're not alone ideas, but it hasn't been until Alfred Weber had Laura Eisenhower in that famous interview from last year. Even though they were on together before and did some stuff, it just seemed like it developed a viral nature. And then it started to, like, dots in my head were connecting. Look at how many sci-fi films where the Borg is represented, an artificial construct type of a non-human parasite, evil force that's working on the part of something more evil that just hates humanity and will do everything in its power to turn us against each other and infect our minds. This information that John Lash, you probably have had him on, has just brought to light, has awakened people to an even deeper concept that maybe we're here in human form to learn how to fight these things, to learn how to overcome what they're doing to us, you know, almost activate some sort of inner power, if you will. True spiritual warfare, taking the sword from the stone, you know, decapitating the demon in the archetypal mythological into the Lord of the Rings, into the Lord of the Rings trilogy, where it's a woman, not a man, the feminine, that is decapitating the dragon. So I think these memes that we're seeing and just this knowledge of the Gnostic texts and the Nag Hammadi, to me, in my own mind, there are less questions that I have. It seems like so much is being revealed to me personally and to people like you and your guests that we are being given the ultimate goal. We are now being given the knowledge. We've been given now the knowledge with proof and evidence there's something wrong. We're under attack. The species is under attack, and it's so organized. It's not a few Rothschilds and Rockefellers behind it. That's ridiculous. And then this other knowledge is coming in. Wait a minute. Being human is more than just eating from the trough and eating at McDonald's and drinking fluoridated water and being a part of some sort of a religious cult or following the left-right paradigm or watching sports. As human beings, we have hearts, which is the greatest concentration of electromagnetic energy in the human body, the area when we love, where we love from and receive love, the heart chakra. And I can go on and on. We're learning about why a lot of us, we're even here, Vincent, why we're even on the earth. And when you get to that point, when you know why you're here, there is no asking the stars and heavens with frantic tears, when are people going to wake up? Because you start to realize that it's only the minority that's waking up to these deeper truths.
And more to the point, to add on to that, it's only a minority that actually needs to wake up in order to overthrow them. You know, you have a look at every successful revolution throughout history. Every single time, it's never been more than 5%, usually much less, that have actually... here's the thing. Founding fathers laid down their lives, their fortunes, right, and their sacred honor, okay? If you are willing to lay that down, heaven help any enemy that comes against you.
Right. And I'm going to sum this up really briefly because there's limited time. I'm really interested in these solar cycles, small ones and large ones. People can look up people like Maurice Cottrell on Coast to Coast, and he'll take you down the different types of cycles. But this 2012 one we just went through is just one of many. And it's still going to take some time to see the effects of whatever galactic center we're going through. But when we see these major renaissances throughout time, you can see peaks in solar activity and changes in climate. And I did a keynote presentation. It's the one thing that got me out of the desert, Vincent, and I really needed it. It was in April of this year. They flew me to Philadelphia, and I gave a 200 slideshow presentation on the sun's effect on consciousness, but cycles of war. We can see periods where events that have been staged by them have occurred in peaks in solar activity. 9/11 is the best example of our day. And we can go from 9/11, even the day of 9/11, we were seeing fluctuations in the magnetic field the moment that those towers were hit by the planes and the moment that those buildings came down. And scientists took a closer look at this. The fear generated by all those people watching at the same time, those events on TV were somehow affecting the magnetic field. And there is so much evidence that there is a direct connection between our consciousness and the field of the Earth itself. Now, when we see more solar flares hit the Earth, we go through magnetic flux. We see geomagnetic storms like they talk about on spaceweather.com. You can sign up and get the updates in your email. And you may also start to see the patterns as I started tracking 4 years ago, people getting in fights, domestic stuff. You may find yourself pissed off and just ready to blow. And you're going, why do I feel this way? And you find out, oh my God, we were just hit by a solar flare. There's something about the human body and our aura, our own magnetic field, that is affected by these changes. And I have concluded it's not conclusively, altruistically, absolutely positive and enlightening and heart-opening. It can be very chaotic and freaky. And how people respond to these magnetic fluxes, geomagnetic storms, is in direct relation to the level of their consciousness or if they're able to handle that energy in their body. This is why I see patterns of more heroin addiction, alcoholism, smoking, other forms of escapism during solar peaks, because as humans, we get flooded with the energy. it's fight or flight on another level, on a more subtle level. We see more babies born. We also see more divorces. Is that because human beings are more hornier for more energy coming in from the sun? See, we start asking questions as to why does society have certain trends? When we go beyond just physical realities and the economy and the war and earth level events, we go higher, we see these larger patterns. And we are
something going- tells me that it's a reciprocal relationship, that the sun affects us and we also affect the sun. Ergo, it must be possible for human beings to actually create their own renaissance without really the need of the sun to do it for us to a degree. Do you reckon?
Dr. Burl Payne. I will now cite Dr. Burl Payne is the man that did studies on people doing mass meditations to quiet sunspots on the sun. Now, this is not to say that sunspots are evil. I had another friend say, why would you want to quiet sunspots? It's linked to evolution. It's linked to also great botanical life, great growing seasons, rather, in areas where there's not a lot of flooding. The plants respond to that increase in solar activity. But to quiet the sunspots during a time where the world is about to go to war may be a beneficial thing if we were able to bring it to more of a, or to quiet, rather, the magnetic field, which is what we're, I think, maybe even more able to control than the sun itself. This is an area that's new to me, but there are people that are looking at this. And I think it's more evidence that we do have this connection with the sun, and it's linked to evolution and consciousness. Burl Payne's been working on this many years. And he's also done studies on the magnetic field around the human body, which he calls the spin force. And he sees, and he's detected in some of his studies, greater spin around the human body and around certain objects when there's more geomagnetic energy in the air.
So it's kind of like it's kind of like the Van Allen radiation belt. The Earth produces itself these kind of dual right. Sort of mushroom shaped auras around its northern and southern hemispheres, and it right. actually produces this radiation belt. It's a big magnetic field, and that mm-hmm. protects it, but it also affects other things around it negatively. And this is something that the people who were traveling through space earlier were really worried about when they went to the moon, or allegedly went to the moon. That they thought that they might be cooked in their little space capsules like right. an egg, you know. And what I find very interesting is that they've now done studies of humans as well, and it turns out that the heart actually produces a very similar looking magnetic field around it as well. So it's like the fractal universe, you know, as above, so below. Everything right. produces the same kind of thing. Like a cell looks like the Earth. A human body and its magnetic fields looks like the Earth. The revolving Andromeda galaxy looks like a cell, and so on and so forth. Everything's a constant repetition of everything that yeah. you see around you. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieusenshow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It is the show from which you cannot hide, no matter how hard you try, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, ladies and gentlemen. And I encourage people to listen in 5 days a week if you want to expand your mind, learn about different things, and so on and so forth. I don't know how everybody else thinks, but here's what I think. If you keep learning about the same stuff all the time, you become stagnant, and you become mentally disabled in a lot of ways. You forget how to learn. You forget how to be open. You forget this important ability to wake up to things that you previously were completely unaware of. And a lot of people, they choose to sit in denial because they've come to the point where they understand one thing and one thing only. And therefore, that understanding of that one thing gives them comfort. And then they try to reject everything else that would seek to destroy that level of comfort. I have news for you. If you're comfortable, it means that you're becoming weak, okay? If you are exercising all the time and you are building up these big muscles, as soon as you stop exercising, what happens to those muscles when they're not being used? They start to go back to nothing and becoming weak. Your brain is the same thing. And so is your heart. You know, I see a lot of people who have bad relationships and they break up and they think, oh, I'll never find love again or whatever. And they never choose to exercise that heart muscle. And as a result, they become really loveless. All right. So this is what this show is about. It's about exercising your funny bone, exercising your heart, and exercising your mind on a daily basis so that you never lose that potential strength. Alex Ansari, the man with the Ansaris, is my guest, and I was just thinking about natural heritage and what people have a propensity to do. Like, I have an Irish and a Scottish background, and I like to hold things like I like to hold a pint of beer. I like to hold a glass of scotch kind of thing. I think they might have to do something with my ancestry. Do you like to hold Stinger missile launchers and AK-47s, considering you've got the Afghanistani background, bro?
You know, it's ironic. I haven't really gotten into firearms. I don't talk about it a lot, but I love all types of martial arts. I've been training in different styles since I was 13. Aikido, boxing, a little of everything, and I had some really good mentors and teachers when I was younger. So even though I don't get out there and I pit fight, I there's something I like about training and pushing my body to the max and using my internal energy, my ki, as I move, as I flow. That may come from thousands of years of fighting with the hands. Now, I didn't see that in my father. He tried to breed that out of me. Actually, tried to beat it out of me. When he one night after
that's
drinking,
that's ironic. You know, don't fight people with your hands while he's beating.
Don't be like Rambo. Anybody can be Rambo. You need to go to school and worship this Western system that I came here to worship. Blah 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 blah. Okay, let me not go off. But I've always felt a desire to be in the mountains, and people went, "Why, Alex? Would you be in Colorado? Like, you could die out there in the desert." Well, it just so turns out, check this out, Vincent. The military does aircraft flyovers, the area of the desert where I was staying, because that terrain is the closest to Afghanistan of anywhere in the U.S., so they have a training range. Now, you think a guy like me would be traumatized with aircraft flying over? They haven't been too invasive, and no one's effed with me. I've been grateful I just wasn't in the city, so I haven't minded their planes. Big friggin' deal. You do your thing, I'll do mine. And there's also a kind of psychological safety of being in the so-called enemy's backyard. They're not going to bomb themselves. Something beautiful about the San Luis Valley for those that live in Colorado. They should look me up. So I feel that being drawn to a part of the United States, only a couple of days' drive from Portland, that's a lot like Afghanistan. And for a few months, I did not have – we didn't get into how I've been surviving. But let's just say, folks, it's in the mind. You got to – if you can deal with the heat, the cold, and not having entertainment around you – if you can deal with those thoughts you have, if you can quiet yourself and you're willing to get close to God and say, well, what do you want to tell me? Why'd you bring me here? Seriously. Now, what do you have to say? I'm listening. If you have that type of psychological willingness, it'll help. So I've been baking bread, Vincent, like Afghanis did. I never learned how to bake bread, but I started getting organic flour in my hibachi crid, hibachi grill, no gas, no propane, grabbing sagebrush, little lighter fluid. Baking bread over fire has been done for thousands of years. I never baked bread till I got out there. So I felt like that simple act was just like going back a few thousand years. Yes, I live in a world where just a year ago people were talking about the end of the world as we know it, 2012. And I'm living in an area that looks like the land before time that my ancestors lived in. And it's right here in the United States. People can live off the grid. They're Vincent for less than $5,000. They can build their home. They can get their building permits. They can be legal. And they can have a community of people to live free together. What I've learned, Vincent, is that there's not enough people out there in the so-called truth community trying to set themselves free. I feel like that is a bigger issue than drones and the government doing this and the government doing that. It's one thing to be upset with your enslavement. It's another thing to not even try to free yourself because you believe that you can't when you haven't even tried. There is a virus, Vincent, that has infected many of our listeners. They don't ever believe that they're ever going to be free or get out of what they're in because of what they've already read or learned, something that's polluted their mind. And what people don't know is there are more and more counties and small areas in this country that are removing fluoride from their water. By the way, China is producing the sodium fluoride that is going into the water supply. There's sodium fluoride and potassium fluoride. when you start awakening to the fact that there are people in this country that live off of mountain runoff that is not contaminated by their local government, there's more evidence I see every day that there are people living free that never heard of a new world order because they're not an area where it's up in their grill. And people need to know that. You know, it's one thing to want to fight this on Facebook and constantly tell the CIA how much you're learning. I understand that. We all want to show people how much we know on Facebook. It's a whole other thing to go beyond what we're so upset about and challenge ourselves. And I want to conclude here on this point. There's someone that I know that's very aware of these things, and she's messaging me saying, how could you live out there without your own water? Are you serious? Our ancestors used to haul water in. The river, the Rio Grande River, was only 3 miles from where I was staying. And I'm trying to explain this to her. You can get 5-gallon BPA-free containers. You can fill them up. You can pick them up. I'm not trying to talk to you like you're stupid. But it's like you almost have to talk to people like they're children politely and with respect because they've been damaged by this system. So they're going, we don't like new world order. We don't like world government, but we're not going to haul our own water. We're not going to have our husband outfit our car to have a 200-gallon container with a pump to go bring in our water so we can grow whatever we want. By the way, weed is legal, Vincent. In Colorado, you can grow up to 6 plants. You can have your pot utopia if you can bear to live with somebody else. See, so, I mean, I'm like you. I want to deal with root causes. Why aren't we free? Why don't we have our own territory? Why don't we have our own tent cities where we don't have to deal with the rainbow family group and people that just want to get high? That doesn't work for some of us. I've tried. Others have tried. We need to keep trying to raise the bar to be independent and just be self-honest with ourselves. That's what I've learned from this last year.
I was thinking about diversity now. Think about the diverse ways that the New World Order is fracking all of us, and you know, in every conceivable way. You know, you talked about, say, if people are drinking water from mountain runoff that hasn't been contaminated by their local council, and then I was just thinking, yep, that's assuming it hasn't been chemtrailed, and there's particulate traces of aluminium and barium and strontium and so on and so forth. It's like, for every bit of freedom that you think that you've gained, you can get really negative about it and think that in other ways you haven't been quite successful. And I came to this conclusion about a year ago that there's so many it's kind of like a cactus, right? You know, you got all these spines coming out in all of these different directions and so on and so forth. For every spine that's going out in every different direction to protect the cactus, there's an attack by the New World Order coming at it from each and every comparable direction, right? That's our existence now. So that means whatever attack that you resist, playing your part of the spine in the cactus, whatever way you resist, that's a good thing. It's only when you stop playing your part, it's only when you stop trying to be free, it's only when you stop trying to resist agendas and so on and so forth, that's when you know for a fact that you are a slave, not because somebody made you a slave, but because you made yourself a slave.
That's true. And to continue on with what you're saying, I just brought this up as you were speaking. We tend to judge something as good or bad when we're having an experience, just in general. You know, and my whole thing was not about, I'm going to go there and be completely self-sufficient and have my own land and, you know, live the free life. It doesn't work that way. It was to have an experience of something that would make me stronger. And now I'm thinking about what am I going to continue this winter to continue that and not become lazy and not complacent on my laurels, but to keep moving forward. We don't always know why something is good or bad, but there is a Chinese proverb that I've known since I was young. It's called good luck, bad luck. And I'm sure you've heard of it, but it deals with an old man. This comes from ancient China, who his son finds a number of horses and he brings the horses back. And everybody said it was such a good omen for him. It was
I have seen this. I have heard this. Yeah. This is in Charlie Wilson's War.
That's right. Very interesting. Yeah. It's been repeated several times. I heard it when I was really young, but I'm going to try to sum it up. Everybody's saying it's good. He's like, good, bad, we'll see. You know, he's playing the middle of the road. We don't know yet. Let's see what happens. His son tries to tame one of these wild horses, falls off, breaks his leg. So now all the villagers are like, oh my God, that's horrible. I mean, your son broke his leg. This is bad, bad. He's like, you know, good, bad. We will see in time. Well, the Chinese army comes, the Imperial army, and they're taking the sons. They're taking the villages. They're having their own draft. And his son can't go. His son has a broken leg. So now it's a good thing. So we see in many cases in my life, I remember this parable because I see mirroring examples of it all the time. And it reminds me just step back from just freaking out that this is a bad thing. Maybe doors are closing here in order for doors to open over here.
Yeah. My former producer had a saying, for every door that closes, a window opens. And I believe in that quite strongly, because every time you've been down on your luck where you think things can't get any worse, trust me, they can always get worse. And every time when you're down on your luck and you think things are never going to get better, surprisingly enough, they always get better. And it's like whatever you think is going to happen, you just have to wait and see.
That's true. Wait and see. Take a look at everything. Take a look again. Take a look at the bigger picture, and that's what we need to do. There's a lot of people looking at the smaller picture, and they're feeling sorry for themselves, and they're feeling like victims. I see quite a bit of it, and I'm just trying to help people. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But when I look at the majority of the people, what they post on Facebook today, I understand we're sharing information. But most of the people can agree on some level. It's all about threats to physical survival. So we at least have to make an attempt. And there's all types of Eastern philosophy we can find for thousands of years that have talked about the journey. That's not about the destination. It's about the journey. It's how you live your life. I don't like this phrase, the road to hell was paved with good intentions. I think that's bullcrap. I think that good intentions can lead us to good things. And some people just say that because they don't even want to try to do anything.
This reminds me of a John Lennon quote. John Lennon was told by his mother, you know, at the point of life, his son is what? And he says, it's to be happy. And he goes, oh, okay then. And he goes to school, and the teacher has an assignment, gives out to all the students, and says, what do you want to do for a career? And John Lennon answers, well, I just want to be happy. And the teacher told him, well, you didn't understand the assignment. And then he tells the teacher, you don't understand life.
That's good. Well, I guess the journey is to be happy. But then again, I want to be happy about the real things. I read this other article about, well, maybe we have sadness for a reason, and just to be just happy all the time just is this weird.
People avoid pain and discomfort and difficulty, and you know it's bad. Right. You know, if you've got all of one and not of the other, it makes you lose appreciation for the other. Kind of like if you were born into wealth, you don't appreciate the freedom that poverty gives you.
Right. Yeah, the same thing could be said about that which we perceive to be the light and those working with the light, and that which we perceive to be darkness and those helping the dark side of the dark forces. As souls in this reincarnation wheel, which I do believe we're in one, it may go big beyond what we know today. But, you know, we read these reports about the universe being a hologram or being a simulation. This is no longer a new idea. Interestingly enough, they're studying cosmic rays, which relate to the magnetic field and the sun and things of that nature. They're looking at how cosmic rays affect the Earth itself in some of their studies on, is this a computer simulation? So I just think we should keep an open mind as to why people just go, you know, Nancy Kerrigan comes to mind getting hit with this. Oh, why me? Why? Or was that Tonya Harding? No, Tonya Harding was behind that thing. He hit her in. But all that took place here in America, Vinny, a very famous scene where the woman's screaming, why, and she's holding her leg like a victim. She was an Olympic ice skater. The point is, we can't fall into that screaming, apathetic, panicked, why type of mentality for all of our lives. We've got to open up our minds to us choosing to be here and choosing to become better people, because we're forced to, and we're forced to see this darkness. It's in plain sight. It's all around us. It's fairly obvious 9/11 was an inside job. I just want to, what if the creator set all this up intentionally for it to be so obvious? You know, Lindsay Williams say they have to show us what they're doing. Why is that? How was this built into the cosmic, spiritual, natural order of things that they have to show us what they're doing? Unless it's there to constantly be obvious what they're doing, and people have a choice what they're going to serve here.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is when people grab their leg and scream out, why, they only want to ask the question because they don't really want to hear the answer. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastonshow.com. Alex Anseri, Outside the Box. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment. We were just commenting like it's, yeah, Alex, it's already been 2 hours pretty much, bro, and it's like, it's gone. That's why I call it the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, because we're just sitting here having a laugh. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. You probably have, and most people probably have. When you're at a party and you're a bit wasted or whatever, and you start having a really interesting conversation with somebody, and before you know it, the party's almost over, and you're still talking, and you're like, whoa, where the hell did those couple of hours go? Right. And that's kind of what the show's sort of turned into. It's kind of like a sober version of that.
Yeah, it's definitely been a sober version of that. I've enjoyed it, and I respect what you do quite a bit, and I enjoy a lot of the interviews, and I've become quite bored with a lot of other shows over the years, and quite tired of hearing the same thing presented the same way over and over, so people certainly appreciate that. I wanted to mention one thing briefly, and very briefly. I also want to give out my contact info. You know, I don't want to be in the game of predicting things at a certain time frame and saying it's going to happen, but from recent developments in Syria, that I've seen more and more things validate what I felt is going to be the reality of what's going to go down for the last 6 years. I've just seen more and more validation. And what I believe, whether we call it World War III or whether we call it just the masses being gunned down by mercenaries or zombies in exoskeletons, whatever the case may be, I see this conflict being manufactured by them, whatever we identify to be them, between Russia, China, and the United States. And I see it culminating not this year and not next year, but a series of events this decade that just lead to more weakening of the United States and basically more the country, the world being turned against the U.S. You notice with Syria now, the whole world's getting ready. Russia and Iran, they're doing the missile deal. You know, Russia and Syria, the whole world's getting ready. And by that time, China will be ready and China will be on the moon. The peak of solar cycle 25, we're right now in 24. It's going to peak late this year in 2015. That's NASA's latest projections. And as I alluded to earlier, peaks in these solar cycles correlate with peaks in wars, starting or ending massive major, you know what's hitting the fan, including economic. So I see the 2022 the 2026 time frame as being very, very interesting. Unfortunately, when I hear from people like Alfred Weber and others, I keep hearing them talk about still this collective consciousness timeline that's going to fix everything. And I'm from the point of observation that this is about the soul's journey, that these are just spacesuits. I know people really believe this, but I don't think they really internalize this, that we're here temporarily. We're here, we're born, and then we're out of it. Rest in peace, Bob Bowman, also a former guest of mine. You and Jack Blood were talking about that. Many people have come and gone. Aaron Russo, we remember these souls, but they did their work and they're gone. Now it's us and we're here. And we have a responsibility to warn people about what we're seeing because ultimately it's healing and we're trying to protect people. So I see this deception coming, Vinny, and I don't think there's enough people today aware that it's a controlled war to use to traumatize the population. I'm not going to say they're going to be successful at depopulating 80%. And I'm not going to say that divine intervention won't play a part in maybe helping us at whatever form it will be. But I'm not going to expect any Pleiadian or any so-called ET group that someone's channeled to come and save my behind. I see this shift as being our greater awareness of what they're trying to pull. And through that, we're showing who we stand for, that we stand with God, that we stand with the creative forces of the universe, if we prefer to identify with that. When we expose their plans to turn nation against nation, as they try to bring the book of Revelation to fulfillment, as they play off that script, we expose them because it's the right thing to do. You know, forget about Jesus returning. How about the Christ consciousness within us now rising out of the ashes and being something powerful? So that's what I think we're looking at, and we need to keep our understanding that they want us to be divided. And people start posting on the internet, oh, I've got my guns, come and take it. They're telling the government where they are and what their intentions are. And they're missing the point that this is a larger fight they're going to be fighting. If they're planning to bring Chinese and Russian troops and Polish troops and all these other hardened troops into the United States. And they remember those things without also becoming paranoid when they come across foreigners.
I remember, pre Pearl Harbor, I think it was. It was a Japanese admiral who was saying we would never have a land invasion of the United States. If we did, we'd have a gun pointed at us from behind every blade of grass. But conveniently, there's been 16 mass shootings since the election of President Obama. Isn't that an interesting statistic? You know? And every single time that one of these mass shootings comes out, in a gun ban zone, mind you, by people with unlawfully obtained firearms usually, we're just going to come out and ban guns. Yeah, unless, of course, it was one of those attempted mass shootings where the shooter was shot from somebody who had a concealed carry permit legally.
Yeah, very good points. And they're going after the AR-15, and they're asking the question, well, what good is an AR-15 for? What does a citizen need an AR-15 for? You need something at least at that capacity to fight off an army.
Yeah.
So I just want to plug my interview from 2007, Alex Hansery interviews Leon Legaunt. Leon Legaunt began having dreams of the invasion of the United States when he was 10 years old. He later moved on to become a clairvoyant teacher to help people access their inner sight. He does not talk to people this often about this. But if people do want to hear what he saw and the timeline, he also saw a Japanese disaster happening, another earth changes before this event. They want to interview Leon Legaunt, L-E-G-A-N-T, and my name, and there'll be a couple of different interviews where that view is represented.
Is he still alive? Texas,
what's that?
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive, and he teaches online meditation classes.
Would he come on this show?
Would he come on this show? I don't know, but I can maybe ask him and give him your contact info, and we'll see.
Brother up, yo.
Yeah. Well, we haven't talked a whole lot. I know this actually really bothers him. This really bothers him, Vincent, just this topic, because he sees Korea involved. He sees lots of things. But ultimately, he saw the resistance forming in Colorado. I feel like I was drawn to this region for a number of different possible reasons. But he saw the invasion stopped after a few years, divine intervention, things of that nature. But basically, the U.S. coming together around the Rocky Mountains. So, you know, while I lived in Portland, I was just generally concerned about the city's overall well-being. And like I said about the local politics and whatnot, I really wanted to save that city. I wanted to be a martyr in some way. At one point, I was very concerned that no one was saying anything about the martial law drills, like Top Off 4, which I documented, the black helicopter flyovers, you know, and just a general increase in homeland security, doing things locally that were obviously very creepy. I started to learn that there are multiple drills that NORTHCOM's been involved in where they're preparing to intercept attacks from overseas. People can look up Vigilant Shield 07 and see that that drill was running concurrent to Top Op 4, but they weren't talking about it in the media. So I would go around asking questions, why are you talking about a drill to protect us from Al-Qaeda? They did a simulation of the Steel Bridge blowing up and how Homeland Security would rescue Portland and run things from the city, set up as a base of operations. But they're running other drills with China and Russia attacking the U.S. So at that point, I was trying to get local officials to tell us, why are you running such a scary drill like that, but you're not telling us in the media? So I think the West Coast has got definitely some major challenges. And I want to share my YouTube channel for people to be able to find some of my other videos. And I'm going to be posting my solar flare presentation about a month from now when it's released from Mark Passio. Who was the gracious host of the Free Your Mind Conference. It's youtube.com/AlexAnsery. That's where people can find 7 years, 8 years of interviews, and it's all just randomly there on one channel. And then there's alexansery.tv, which over the course of this coming week, I'm going to be working on updating with articles and videos and whatnot. And eventually I'll establish a newsletter. I've been moving so much, it's been difficult for me to get back to people and maintain it, but I'm going to try to do that this winter. And, of course, people can also find me over at Facebook, and they can follow some of my posts from there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we've still got a minute or two left, and I was just thinking about this, right? How could we ever figure out where it is we're going to end up? Because I don't know about you, but I've seen so many people predict things. Virtually nothing happens like you think it's going to. And even if it does happen like you think it's going to, it doesn't happen the way you thought it was. And what occurs to me is that if you have a belief in something, your beliefs will always be challenged, always. And you've got to be prepared for that. And you've got to be prepared to change your beliefs when new information comes into the fold. And I think what I classically say all the time is there's my three most favorite words are, I don't know. Three most hated words are, I don't care. And the three words that are required for personal growth is, I was wrong. And I believe that that philosophy, that nine-word philosophy, kind of encapsulates and brings about a lot of balance within me because it means that I can constantly change. I remember I was asking my landlady, who's been living in this particular place for 26-odd years, right, if we could have some chooks in the background. And she said something to me I'll never forget. No, I don't like change. And I was just thinking, so you don't like the only constant in the universe? You're Shiite Muslim out of luck. I'm sorry. You know, it's one thing that you cannot avoid. And if you're afraid of it and if you don't like it, well, I'm sorry, but you're never going to reach your full potential. Embrace it. Make it freaking happen. And that's why I really find it very interesting how every single political campaign that's running against the current established order campaigns on a platform of change. And people vote for them because they actually do want it. But it never freaking happens because the people are lying to you. Stop believing them and start changing things yourself. You don't need them anymore, ladies and gentlemen. You don't need them anymore. Thank you very much, Alex, for coming on the show today. AlexAnseri.tv is the website. Just Google him on the NSA search engine or something of that nature. And you'll be able to look at the websites of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And we'll see you again sometime.